Let us prepare our hearts for worship.
Long may our land be blessed.
Well, good morning, everyone. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So good to be here with you all this day. I invite you to turn to the announcements in our bulletin. And I would like to start us off with, I think Tony has something to share with us. Go ahead, Tony.
Well, as you may know, today is a celebration from my mother's 90th birthday. And we want all of you to stay and come downstairs to a reception after church today. When we started planning this, we thought we might have just a little reception. I told Mother to get up an invitation list. And she immediately grabbed her church directory. And she said, okay. And pretty soon we had every member of the church listed on that list of people to invite. So this is our solution. We want all of you to stay. And so I want you to join with me in wishing my mother a happy birthday. Yesterday was the day.
We have an announcement from Marty.
Thank you, Tony. What a great lead-in for church directories. That's what I'm promoting. If you want a church directory, you can see me or Madeline or Kitty or Diane's not here. Any person from the Friendship Circle, we have them here in the church. We are asking $6 to cover the cost on those, but it is a casual directory, so you'll recognize everybody because they're not all dressed up. So see us today, and we'll keep selling them till we get them all sold. We had 75 altogether. I think we've sold, what, do y'all know? I don't know, but because I've been gone. But anyway, we've got plenty. So see us.
Claire. Thank you, Claire. Is anybody in the mood for baseball? Let Claire know. We're going to have a church outing. Should be fun. Also, trustees meeting Thursday. Scott,
yes.
Do you have something to add as well?
Trustee meeting on Thursday. And next Saturday, 9 o'clock, is our outside cleaning day. We've signed everybody up. Everybody. And so please try to be here. We've got a list of some really good things. We'll get some things done.
If you're not signed up for something yet, just know you'll be cleaning the gutters. Anyway, just kidding. But if you would like to help and haven't gotten scheduled for something, just see Scott and he'll be able to set you straight. Well, if there are no further announcements. Oh, Madeline. Thank you to everyone who helped with that very important ministry that we do here on about a quarterly basis. So if you weren't able to help this time, there'll be ample time in the future here in just a few weeks. Well, I invite you to stand. Our opening hymn is number 567, Heralds of Christ.
Heralds of Christ, through heaven and earth, we hail.
I invite you to remain standing and turn with me into the back of our hymnals to the Affirmations of Faith, to number 881, as we read together in this historic confession of the Christian faith, the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated, and I invite our children to come to the front for our children's time. Good morning. How are y'all? Good? Well, good. I'm glad to hear it. It's nice to see some new faces here this morning, too. Well, I have a little something to talk to you about this morning. Have any of you all been farmers? You've not been farmers? You're going to be. Well, that's good. So I guess you've not really used an ox to plow a field, right? Do you know what an ox is? It's like a big cow. You pretended that your dog was. I've seen her dog. It's Well, Jesus talks to us in the Bible about a thing called a yoke. Not the yellow part of an egg. He talks about this thing called a yoke that was used to join up two oxen together. So that they could help pull plows and carts and things like that. And Jesus tells us to take his yoke upon us. That's kind of an odd thing to think about, isn't it? We're not oxen, are we? We're not even dogs. We're people. We don't plow with... But have you ever seen this little thing that I wear on Sundays? This is called a stole. And it's a symbolic sort of way of having a yoke on me. It's not that I'm an ox, although sometimes when you see me eat, you might think so. But what this is, this little piece of cloth right here, it fits over my neck, and it's almost like the ropes of a yoke that harness and would, if you could imagine these things hooking onto a cart or a plow. What's so funny about that? What's so funny about that?
Everything.
Yeah, I know. Well, I have something for you all. I have lots of these. Here's one for you. Now, you don't get to keep these. You just get to wear them for a second, okay? There's one for you. Here's one for you. Oh, thank you, Sally Ann. Sally Ann has one as well. Hers is a little bit different, but it's about the same thing. Here you go, Lila. Here we go. This was the one right here that I was given whenever I was ordained as a minister. So, Cora, I'll let you wear this one. We might have to share. Here we go. Oh, okay. Oh, look at that. Perfect. There we go. What do y'all think about those? Does it put you in the mood to plow? Does it put you in the mood to pull a cart? You are to be a doctor, not a preacher. Well, or president, that'll work too. Makes you want to do nothing. Well, sometimes it has that effect too, some would argue. Well, I give you those to wear for right now, just so it's kind of heavy around your neck, isn't it? It kind of is. Well, it will be if you wear it for a while. And you know what else? It makes it a lot hotter, too. You wouldn't think just a little strip of fabric would make you that hot, but it can. But it's supposed to remind us that we're all working together for Jesus. And that's what we do here in the church, is we're all called to work together, to be yoked together, and to be yoked to Jesus. And so when you see me wearing this or one of those that y'all have on, remember that it's all about working, and it's about working together and serving Jesus. Not that we're cows or oxen or horses or doggies or whatever, but that we're all called to serve. So let's pray. Dear God, we thank you for all the gifts that you've given us, and most of all, we thank you for the gift of Jesus, who calls us to work with him, to bring his love to others, and to help wherever we can, to let other people know that God loves them. Well, Lord, bless all of our work together, and bless each and every one of these children, that they might grow in their service and in their strength to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay. No. I tell you what, as you're, we have our bread tin. Do we have some volunteers for it? Okay. How about Haley? There we go. Hold on. Let's take the stoles off first. And Sally Ann will give you those. And if y'all can, okay, there we go. There we got them all now. And I think we have some special music during the collection. Our bulletin has a little more about what our collection this month of loose change offering goes for, called our bread tin. And some details about it are listed there in the bulletin for you.
A mansion, a robe, and a crown. bright land where we'll never grow old. And someday yonder we will never more wander, but walk on streets that are purest gold.
Excited. Well, before our scripture lessons are read, I invite you to join with me in our prayer for illumination as printed in the bulletin. Let us pray together. Faithful Creator, whose mercy never fails, deepen our faithfulness to you and inspire us to obey your living word, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our scripture lesson this day is taken from Matthew's Gospel, the 11th chapter. I'll be reading verses 25 through 30. Hear now the word of the Lord. At that time, Jesus said, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you've hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight, for you are indeed our rock and our resting place. Amen. Imagine with me for a moment that you were born in the 1700s, okay? Chances are, at least if you were male, that you would go to school until you were maybe 13, 15, something like that. Then you would most likely be apprenticed to a master craftsman of some sort. Let's, for just the sake of discussion, say apprentice to a carpenter. And now, there were guilds back then, and they're still in existence today, and I was going to explain guilds a bit, and I thought, well, gee, Derek, he's a member of a guild in England. So I know it's not that far from you all, but this age of guilds and of craftsmen and tradespeople, the way that an apprenticeship worked is basically you would work for a master carpenter, let's say, for 7 years, and you would get in return for that food and shelter and learning how to do this trade. It wasn't until after you had completed 7 years or so of service to the master that you would then be qualified as a journeyman or as someone who was able to be paid for the work that they did. And so then, once you were a journeyman, though, it did not mean you were a master yet. You still had to prove yourself over and over and over to the guild in that area and to the other master craftsmen before they would allow you in as a master. In our gospel lesson from Matthew this morning, Jesus invites us to become his apprentices, to live under his tutelage, to learn his ways, to walk in his path, to eat his bread, to share his cup. Jesus tells us in Matthew 11:29, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls." Now, there's nothing wrong with that translation, but I think it misses a not-so-subtle nuance that this metaphor implies. A better translation, I think, would be, "Take my yoke upon you and become my apprentice. Take my yoke upon you and become my yoke mate. I would guess that there are many of you in the congregation this morning who have very little familiarity with the yoke, much like our children today. I wanted to have one to show you this morning. It's a big, heavy beam of wood, and it has two loops that go through it, also made of bent wood, that would hook up one oxen to another. I tried really hard to find one. I found one, but it was connected to the barn at the Vance birthplace, and they wouldn't let me take it off. So I then called Rick, and I said, "Rick, do you know where I could find one?" Because I knew Rick would know. And he said, "Oh, well, check out at Vance." And I said, "I already did." You know, and he said, "Well, we could make one." And I thought, gee, I couldn't bring Rick to give up 2 days of his life just to have something to show you today. So an explanation of it, I think, will have to suffice. Many of you have seen one before anyway, if just at the Cracker Barrel. But the point, anyway, the point is a yoke joins up one ox to another. So you have two ox power instead of just one. And what that enables one to do, and you know, we're so far removed from agricultural history that we don't really even think about the implications of this metaphor. Because what a farmer would do who had oxen, he would take an older, more experienced, better trained ox and put him in with the yoke and yoke him to one that was not well trained, one that was younger maybe, one that had not been as experienced in how to work these things. And the stronger, well-trained ox would then help the younger one who didn't know as well how to do these things. He would then help him to fall in line and to shoulder the burden and all of that. And so what this would do is, and the reason Jesus gives us this is because he calls us to come and to be yoked to him, which it's kind of a funny image of us as oxen, I guess. I think the children laughed appropriately. But imagine if we were physically yoked to Jesus, to where Jesus is right there next to us, to where there's a big wooden beam and a collar just shoved up in there, and there's a burden, but Jesus is there not only showing us how to do it, but also shouldering some of that burden. You know, I mean, that's even where that term shouldering the burden comes from, isn't it? Jesus is there helping us in the right way, but also helping us to make it easier. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and become my yoke mate, my apprentice. For I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. These words of comfort to those of us who know the pain of heavy burdens and the rest that we can only find in God may seem a bit contradictory at first, doesn't it? I mean, how do you take the image of a yoke and working and the image of rest? Work and rest are really more antonyms than synonyms in most of our minds, I think. But work, by its very nature, is draining. And this is especially the case when progress is slow or stagnant. It's the worst kind of tired, I think. You know, there's two kinds of tired. There's a good kind and a bad kind. And that's kind of the bad kind of tired, when we're weary. Yet work can be very rewarding when we see the finished product start to emerge. I like to do woodworking as a hobby. And I always find that I don't have the right tool. Not just a ploy to get more tools, wife. But I always find that when I'm using the wrong tool or using the right tool in the wrong way, I mess up or I injure myself. I shoved a chisel through the web of my hand because I didn't have a vise, you know, and I was trying to hold it. And anyway, I've since gotten one of those and become much better about not injuring myself with a pointy object. But whenever you have the right tool and it's used in the right way, there is just such enjoyment. In my mind, I take a hand plane and skid it across the board, and that little shaving that's almost transparent curls up and falls right off, and the wood's just slick. I mean, slicker than you could ever get it by sanding. Whenever you've got a nicely tuned hand plane and you do it across, there's just nothing more cathartic than that, in my mind at least. And it's almost relaxing. Even though my arms are tired afterwards, it's so relaxing, and I find enjoyment in my work. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. This translation also misses something I think that's less than a not-so-subtle nuance. I'd offer this paraphrase to consider. My yoke is so well-fitted that it makes the work enjoyable. My yoke so well-fitted, krestos is the Greek word there. My yoke fits so well, it's the right tool, that it makes working enjoyable. And the work's not that hard anyway. Jesus is not telling us to come to him and be lazy. Jesus is not even telling us that serving him is easy. But we are being told that we don't shoulder the burden of this life alone. Work is a lot easier when we have a master craftsman working alongside us, guiding us in the way of the craft. Work's a lot easier when we're yoked to a stronger and more competent yoke mate who can lead us in the proper way. Work is a lot easier when we have the right tools and a well-fitted yoke. It even becomes enjoyable. We all yoke ourselves to someone or something. In Jesus' time, the Pharisees were yoked to the law, and in it they found a burden that they thought they were capable of bearing, but just weren't. However, sadly, in our times, we don't yoke ourselves to anything as lofty and high as the law, do we? We oftentimes yoke ourselves to the ways of this world that are a lot less than just something like the law of God. We yoke ourselves all the time and freely with all sorts of stuff, not nearly as admirable as following the law of God. The vast majority of people spend their lives yoked to a lifestyle that renders them incapable of following Jesus. We yoke ourselves to the world all the time, to our jobs, our ambitions, our desires. You cannot be yoked to the world and yoked to Jesus at the same time. There's only one other spot in that yoke. And if you put the world there, you can't then just switch out and put Jesus there. The world pulls us one way, and Jesus pulls us another. The way of the world carries with it a burden none of us can shoulder, but the way of God is different. So why do we continually yoke ourselves to someone or to something other than God? Why do we continually think that we can pull that plow or tow that cart all by ourselves? Why do we continually burden ourselves with the worries and cares of this world when God is pleading with us to let him help? I think it's because we believe we're above servitude. I really think that's what it is. We think that we're not oxen, but the driver of the team. You know, we think that we're the one who orders the oxen around instead of realizing that we are the beast of burden ourselves. I think it's because we believe we're above servitude. It is to the Pharisees and to you and me that Jesus calls out, "Take my yoke upon you and become my apprentice, my yoke fellow, and you will find rest for your souls." Are you tired, weary? Well, maybe you should try working with and for Christ. Then it becomes that good kind of tired. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We have, Corey, if you'll come to the front. We have a member of our church going on a mission trip this week to Salkehatchee. That's not easy to say. I got it right, didn't I, Sally Ann? Salkehatchee. I think I could even spell it. And we wish you all the best. And so, if I may, let's have a prayer. Let us pray. Corey, in the name of this congregation, I commend you to this work and pledge you to our prayers, our encouragement, and support. May the Holy Spirit guide and strengthen you, that in this and in all things that you might do God's will in the service of Jesus Christ at Salkehatchee and beyond. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ, peace on your mission trip. We wish you well.
Let us take our hearts, our minds to God in prayer. Hear God, we are yours, silent now, but filled with new awareness of possibilities. Possibilities to put on that yoke in a new way, to pray for youth on a mission trip, to pray for those who celebrate 90th birthdays and beyond. Still now, yet full of energy for your reign of justice, prayerfully we come to hear your word, spoken and through music and song. And we celebrate the gospel which makes us the new beings we are only just discovering inside ourselves. With hope, we approach you in worship that we may celebrate the community we have become. Lord, in your mercy. Great and gracious God, we have known your presence in our minds through calls to personhood, to faith, to justice, and to action. We turn humbly in confession to acknowledge that we have failed you and each other and ourselves. Forgive us and make us free, O God. Lord, in your mercy. We come before you with a list that we take home every Sunday and are reminded to pray for those listed here in our bulletin, and specifically this morning to lift up Hollis Diamond, an infant diagnosed with cystic fibrosis, Jane Height. Hollis is her sister's grandson. So we remember Hollis. We remember Thomas and Tracy, Lad Adafi, and all those who are heavy on our hearts at this time that need your tender care, your love, your support. Hear these names as we lift them to you silently. Gracious God, it is good to have a week when we can minister with women like the Room at the Inn women, and I lift up particularly Maggie, a first-time Room at the Inn woman who is excited about sharing this ministry with her church and how her church can be a part of this kind of ministry to people in the community. Be with Maggie and the other women who stayed here this week and all the other homeless souls that walk the streets of Asheville and don't participate in a program for whatever reason. Those that camp out in the woods, under bridges, and the many other places that they have found to call home. We're thankful for the welcome tables and the ministries of the community of churches that reach out in other ways for A-Hope and the Salvation Army and the other shelters that provide space for folks in bad weather. Be with them as they search their souls to find where you are calling and where you are a part of their lives. Lord, in your mercy. O God, our Creator, we confess that we've turned away from the startling reality of our creation in your image. In fear, we have turned our backs on the dominion granted us at the beginning of time and have accepted cultural injustice in many forms. We recognize now that by these sins we have distorted your image upon this earth. O merciful God, forgive us for failing to be with you the co-creators we were called to be. Forgive us and make us free. Lord, in your mercy. Know that you can go from this place, each and every one of us, and continue to pray to God this week, to lift up those names printed in the bulletin and those that are heavy on your heart. But it's through these prayers that we can continue to be God's hands and feet in the world in a special spiritual way, calling on Christ, calling on the Holy Spirit, calling on God to be present in ways that we cannot. Amen.
Amen. I invite our ushers to come forward as we take a moment to give back to God from all that he has so graciously given us. Let us rise as we sing together the doxology.
Praise God from whom all blessings.
Let us pray. O Lord, for each and every blessing that you have given us, we offer you our thanks and praise and these gifts that are before you. O Lord, take both the gift and the giver and use them that your love might be spread throughout the earth. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. Well, I invite you to turn with me to page 15 in our hymn books as we join together in the words of the Great Thanksgiving. The congregation, you all are invited to read the words in bold print. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin, and who seek to live in peace with one another. So I want you to know that this day, Christ's table, as always, is open to anyone who wishes to receive. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
Let
us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. You shoulder our burdens, you lead us in your path, and you guide us in your ways. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy,
holy, holy Lord,
God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which our Lord gave himself up for us, he took a loaf of bread. He gave thanks to you, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Likewise, when the supper was over, he took a cup. He gave thanks to you, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink from this, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me." So, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here, O Lord, and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. Equip us, O Lord, for your service. Strengthen our weak muscles. Inspire our fledgling hearts, that we might be moved to serve you and others for the sake of God's kingdom. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we all feast together at the heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. And now we are bold to pray as our Lord taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. I invite our servers to come forward. The bread which we break is a sharing in the body of Christ. And the cup over which we give thanks, a sharing in his blood. Thanks be to God. Come, let us keep the feast of Christ our Lord. There'll be a healing prayer station over here to the side that David and Katie will be doing if you're interested in that. And I invite our choir to come first, and then the ushers will direct you when to come forward. Come, let us keep the feast of Christ our Lord. Let us pray. Eternal and loving Father, we give you thanks for this holy mystery, and we ask that your nourishment might follow us as we leave this place, that we might be empowered and strengthened to carry the burden not only of our own but of others. In your holy name, amen. Go in peace. Let us pray. In the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. May the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be among you and remain always with you. Amen. Go in peace. Thank you.
Let us pray. As the children have said, it's just bread and grape juice, but it's oh so much more. Help us, your grace, to remember the gift of grace that comes through this meal, to take the power that is given to us through this, that we may go strong out into your world, to heal the hurts, to share the good news, to be your people. Amen.
Amen. Gracious God, we give you thanks for everything this day, but especially for this holy mystery. The Lord, may it change us, may it fill us, may it move us to your service and to share your love with others. In Jesus' name, amen. Go in peace.
Let us pray. Oh, what an honor it is to come and feast at this table. What an opportunity to be with our family, to share in this meal, and to go forth in your glorious service, O God. Bless us now and always. Amen.
Well, I invite you to stand for our final hymn. It's found in our hymn books, number 569. We have a story to tell to the nations. Sing the first and last verses. The invitation to stay downstairs for some refreshments and the celebration of Lois's birthday. But go in peace to love and serve the Lord, and may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.
Thank you. Hey, what's